You are using a lot of KY jelly. This is concerning.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to send a tanker truck up to Alaska where you're filming, just filled with KY jelly.
What did you pair this with, Nick?
KY jelly.
I did not.
Its origin, alien. Location, Antarctica. Age, unknown. Intent, survival. Destination, man. John Carpenter's The Thing, the ultimate in alien terror, rated R. Starts Friday at a theater near you. Check newspapers for local listings.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into the movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And we have our first guest today.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. It's about time. We have Jacob Nordman, a friend of mine for almost a decade now.
Yeah, it's been a while. It feels crazy.
How you doing, Jake?
I am good. I have a deep love for this movie, which probably says terrible things about my psyche, but I'm excited to dive in.
I can't wait to talk The Thing. So, as Jake said, today we're talking The Thing. The Thing, made in 1982, directed by John Carpenter, stars Kurt Russell, Keith David, Wilford Brimley, just to name a few. And let's just get into it. So, to start, what is your relationship to this movie? When did you first watch this movie? We'll start with you, Jake.
Oh, probably at some point in middle school.
I love that.
Not an appropriate middle school movie, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Who did you watch it with?
I think on my own. It was right when I found, I can find movies to stream, and this one's iconic. Let's watch it. And then my brain has just been on a body horror physical effect rabbit hole ever since.
Did your parents know that you were going to watch this movie?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, good.
I don't think they've seen this movie.
Did you watch this movie legally when you watched it the first time?
It was either on Netflix or it was on a different website. I consumed the media legally. I'm not sure where it was originally sourced from.
That's a great
Nothing
answer.
That Jake did while watching the movie was illegal.
I bought the burger. I'm not the one who might have put human meat in it.
So we'll start with just a little bit of the plot points. We're not going to go over the plot much because I assume if you're listening to this that you have seen the movie, The Thing. But just to start, so we enter into the movie with a spaceship plummeting to Earth. You see a crew in Antarctica studying. We have no idea. They're
ice.
Doing science.
They're studying ice. And ice down here?
Well, I was like, when I was looking at this movie and reading about it, I was like, did they say what they're looking at? No, I don't think they do.
Penguin butts. They're
doing science. So there's a group of men doing science. Some of them are doctors. Some of them are doing the work like cleaning and cooking and things like that. Some of them, like Kurt Russell's character McReady, is a helicopter pilot. So they all have these different skills. The crew is studying ice, I guess. I don't know. A dog shows up with some Norwegians in a helicopter trying to kill it. Very sad start to the movie. And after killing, so the Norwegian man, because he gets killed in self-defense, because in trying to shoot the dog, he shoots a crew member. And then one of the other Americans kills him. You have McReady.
The other Norwegian also fumbles a grenade and blows himself up in
yes,
the beginning.
Right.
So that's what happens to the Norwegian group.
Right. And so after the Norwegian man dies, you have McReady and Dr. Copper going to investigate the Norwegian base. The dog gets ripped open eventually to reveal the thing, and hijinks ensue as they're trying to get rid of this thing. Anything to add?
Rut-row.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens to dogs in movies like this.
No, and it was I know that we all three are dog lovers. We mm-hmm. all three have dogs. And to see a dog die in a movie is always so sad.
Right before the thing is revealed in that dog, Jake is saying, because we all watch this together, Jake says to me, Justin, you should get really attached to all the dogs in this movie.
Yeah, so we watched this together last night. Justin, this was your first time having seen it. I watched it in 2022 with Jake. Mm-hmm. This is probably Jake's 100th time seeing it. Justin, what were your initial impressions on The Thing?
I was into it. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it. I actually...
Which is a great way to go into this particular movie, mm-hmm. not knowing anything about it.
I think a brief synopsis was explained to me at one point about it, but... yeah, I was into it. It set the tone really well. It took its time at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and you're just curious about what's going to happen here.
Absolutely.
And yeah, the music was good. Yeah, everything was great about it. I really enjoyed it.
We watched it with my pug mix, Ripley, and I always like talking about a Ripley reaction while I'm watching a movie, if there was one. He was losing his mind at that dog at the beginning. He tried to bite Jake's TV.
He did bite his Jake's TV.
Yeah, he like jumped and like pushed his little pug face into the little dog image. I'm like, what is your deal, man?
He knew. He knew.
He
that
knew.
Wasn't the dog.
He knew that.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
Dog.
He knew. I didn't even know, and he knew.
Ripley can sniff out the thing. Yeah, that was, yeah, he was very disturbed. He was making all kinds of creepy noises. Sometimes I think Ripley is the thing. Anyway.
I can see it. He has an alien look to him.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about The Thing's reception and its time. So it
not
was based
good.
Yeah,
on,
not good.
Yeah, not good. It was based on a 1938 novel called Who Goes There? And also a 1951 movie that was based on the novel called The Thing from Another World. Its budget was about $15 million. About $1.5 million of that went into the
practical
special
effects.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The budget, again, about $15 million. The gross, so worldwide, it made just a little over $20 million. Not good. Mm-hmm. Another movie that was released at the same time, like the same month that this was released, was E.T., which is really fun to have those two in theaters at the same time.
Like, 2 weeks before.
Yeah,
you mix them up as parents. You're just like, we're going to go see this movie about an alien.
A friendly alien. Yeah, one alien, very friendly, very nice. One alien, not as much. And critics really hated it. Audiences didn't watch it much. And it really got a lot of flack for the gore. There were a lot of the critical reception was like, this movie's gross. And it's like, well,
kind of.
Yeah, it's very gross. But I think the grossness really adds something special.
People were soft.
I think people were coming off the back of Halloween and they're like, ooh, a slasher. That's what's intense nowadays. And then The Thing comes in and is just like, what if we ripped a dog in half from the face first? And it's like, okay, step back a bit.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah. Honestly, so I've seen Halloween. And Halloween was a big deal for Carpenter because it was super cheap to make. I think it was less than $500,000 to make, and it made like a gazillion dollars. Mm-hmm. It really blew up. And so this is, I think he made a few movies in between Halloween and this. I think Escape from New York was before this, which is an awesome movie. Mm-hmm. But then by the time he gets to The Thing, he's really in his horror mode and really like doing something big with it and with a lot bigger budget than something like Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the novel Who Goes There about some guy who had a mom and his aunt were twins, so he never knew who he was talking to?
I have
is
no
that what
idea.
That's what I read on a review of that. It was based off of that. Whoa. And he was like, it, like their antics like really messed him up.
Yeah.
That
might
have been the first movie adaptation, because what I was reading was The Thing is a bit closer to the book, but it takes the good things the first movie adaptation did and included them in. So it's like it's a little bit more true to plot summary. But the Thing from Outer Space, that's the one where they did change up the plot from the book.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about both of those original source materials. I know that in the 70s they started like working on the screenplay, and I know that it changed a lot throughout its production. So, Jake, I want to start by asking the question that our podcast kind of revolves around, which is, what to you resonates as true?
Before we enter this, we're entering the blender.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Justin, I asked Justin today. We last episode we did the blender because we're going to call our little set of questions the blender because it breaks it down into its individual morsels. Today I was like, Justin, do we want to keep the blender? And Justin's like, yes.
And I was like,
gotta keep the blender. So we're keeping the blender. So Jake, the blender, the first part of the blender, breaking this thing down into its parts. What to you resonates as true? And this is a very broad question. What resonates to you as true? It can be literally, this is realistic. Probably not a lot in this movie. Mm-hmm. It can be, this is true to me emotionally, spiritually, literally anything.
I would say the movie deals with truth in a very complicated way. I mean, just given the ending, you aren't certain mm-hmm. what is true about the events of the thing, what had unfolded, who mm-hmm. had been taken, who hadn't been. But I think the truest, as much as you can get with a kind of loose ending, is a bit of a comparison between human kind of motivation in the movie and the thing's motivation, whereas mm. human motivation very quickly devolves into, okay, we need to kill it and ourselves to mm-hmm. save civilization, like sacrifice for the greater good.
Yeah.
Whereas the thing is just like, nope, I'm going to rampage, slaughter everybody, and then freeze myself in hibernation so that I can go and do this more because I love it so much. And so it's like not only alien in its appearance, but also in a complete misunderstanding of what human empathy and rationale would dictate in that moment.
Okay. Going off of what you just said about the thing's motivation, because I love it so much, do you think the thing is conscious? Like, do you think
yes.
it – I guess that would make sense.
It can take any form and intelligently takes the form of things that it knows would gain another thing's trust. So there's at least some True. Semblance of malevolent intelligence there.
That is quite disturbing.
And also, like, there are multiple instances where – things the thing like infects people off screen and without all of kind of like the violence, and then just yeah. willingly is like, I'm gonna open up as a dude's stomach and eat a dude's arms because I can. Like, you could have just played the dormant game the whole time. The dog runs around, licks everybody's faces, they're all infected, and then boop, you're done. But that right. dude likes the explosions.
Why do you think they showed the dog when it went into the kennel just like staring at the wall? At first, I thought it was seeing the thing.
Maybe because it's super creepy.
And it's surrounded by dogs that know it's not a dog because they're yeah. smarter than people when it comes to that stuff. That's why they were all like, I don't like this dude.
Yeah. It just, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know that dog was a thing yet. So I was like, why is it just staring? It's weird.
And then its face Demogorgons out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was actually going to say that. The face, like the design when its face rips open, it really reminded me of the Demogorgon in Stranger Things. And it also really reminded me of the creatures in the Quiet Place movies. Mm-hmm. They have that almost like flower face yep. that like opens up and then there's just a bunch of nasty teeth. And this is the earliest thing that I've seen that I'm like, oh, that kind of trope, that kind yep. of like horror trope. I think it's really interesting what you're saying about the thing being very conscious, because I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think something that's so disturbing about the thing is that it can literally take on people's brains and memories, but at the same time, it's hard to think of it as really smart, because when you see it in action, it's so visceral, but it's actually both. And I think when watching the movie, the visceral part stands out most to me. But in thinking about it, like what you just said, it's like, oh, that is actually kind of disgusting.
Well, yeah, like destroying the blood for the test initially so that it can't be sussed out, not right. reacting until the final moment when it knows it's going to be revealed, and then losing its mind when it's tied to a bench with three other dudes.
Yeah. Jake, something that really, from what I've noticed about things that you enjoy, particularly related to horror, whether it is something like The Thing, whether it is something like Alien, mm-hmm. or you tend to like a lot of stories relating to Cthulhu or other
Lovecraft, despite his problematic
yeah.
history.
Yeah. yeah. Other terrifying things. What is it about the unknown? Because a lot of those things have to do with something that is very unknown mm-hmm. and in some ways unknowable. What is it that really stands out to you about that, or that draws you to that?
I think the quantifiable makes it, you can logic your way out of it if it's overly kind of standardized. So, oh, it exists in the physical realm. It's this thing. I understand it. It is either bigger, badder than humans and it's going to win, or the humans overpower it, whatever. I think the unknown, this concept of something that is not quantifiable, it forces your brain into kind of a bit of a backstep where you're like, okay, I can't logic my way out of the situation or what I'm yeah. experiencing on the screen or in the book or whatever you might be consuming.
Hmm.
The absence of logic to diffuse a situation makes it unnerving. And I think if I can logic my way out of something, I just will, which was why thrillers sometimes lose a lot of their meat for me.
Hmm.
And Lovecraft is very much like, you can't logic it. If you try to logic it, you'll go insane and completely like die. So there you go.
Interesting. That actually makes a lot of sense. Something that stood out to me in this movie is the idea of evil as a distortion of good. Because I think that the way I think about evil is that evil is not something that is original. It's not like there's good and then evil independently. Evil is always some sort of distortion of good. And so in this movie, you see a lot of distortion of organic matter, of people, of things that are good into something just completely disgusting and like twisted. Literally twisted, like when they find the faces.
Oh, the two dudes fused
together.
When
it's in mid-split and they're just like fused. Ugh, so creepy.
Which, crazy that somebody had the job to get to design that.
Yeah.
Like that's...
And we'll talk about
that. They had so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a wild job. Another thing is that, like, this movie had me thinking a little bit about ideology and ideology spreading, specifically ideology that is bad or harmful, and spreading quickly, and also being kind of invisible, as in ideology is internal. But once you have internalized something, not to say that all ideology is bad. I mean, ideology in a lot of ways is inescapable. People have values and beliefs, but it can...
No, exist in a void, always.
Right. It can spread really quickly, and it is something that sometimes it's hard to know what someone's ideology is or what their beliefs are.
I agree.
Yeah, for a movie that is super gory and has a lot of crazy practical effects, I thought that the psychological aspect was more interesting and grabby to me than the physical horror, even though it was crazy. Like, every scene that something happened that was physical body horror was, like, disgusting or just crazy. And I think Jake was kind of getting at this, like, the psychological aspect that you can't wrap your mind around it, or it's, like, hard to figure out what is going on, is more enticing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Throws your brain into like a maze of like, okay, who is taken, who isn't? There's 14 dudes at first. They're getting whittled down. Then they've killed like three people at a certain point, and you see them all standing around a burning body, and you're like, there's still a lot of guys left that we don't know.
Yeah. And for a large part of the movie, I thought MacReady was definitely like, when they thought he was the thing, I was like, yeah, they're right. He's definitely one of them. And he was going to blow them up. I was like, this feels like he is so guilty, but he wasn't somehow.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, who knows by the end?
Well, by the end, but at that point he wasn't, because
he went on to blow up the three-person thing in the mine shaft or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing is, it's really hard and really sucky to be isolated with a group of people, I think, in a lot of ways. It reminded me of the brief amount of time, it was only like 8 weeks, that I worked on a fishing boat in Alaska. And it was me and my friend from high school, who I got along really well with, and then two other people, and for the last few weeks, it was like a third other person as well. And you just really start to get on each other's nerves when you're in a small space and can't leave. Like, we were sleeping on the boat, cooking on the boat, pooping in a bucket and throwing it into the ocean.
Fish love it.
On the boat.
Fish were great fish.
And after a while, you're just like, oh my goodness, some of these people are getting on my nerves. And so it would just be a grim place. And I was in Alaska in the summer when it was beautiful. And so if I were in Antarctica and it's just snowing, there's nothing around nature-wise other than, like, I don't know, maybe some polar bears or something.
Well, you don't even want to go outside that long.
Right, right. And then it's just you and this group of guys. It sounds like it would be really annoying at times.
I know. I think of that. I'm like, what if Lord of the Flies had a shape-shifting alien monster added to the mix? And that's kind of where we get to.
I love that. Anything else stands out to you guys that really resonates with you as true?
Did you ever think anyone on your boat was the thing?
I did not. We did have a dog on the boat, and she was very cute.
Aww.
And I was like, is she the thing? No, I was not. No, she was very sweet.
Was she a husky?
She was not. She was like a border collie.
She's just a chihuahua.
Really sweet. I don't think the chihuahua would have fared well as the boat's like rocking back and forth.
Just sliding back and forth.
The last thing that really the last thing that really stood out to me was that Kurt Russell in this movie is basically what a little boy thinks a super cool adult is. He's just got a huge beard, long hair, and a flamethrower. He kind of reminds me in some ways of Indiana Jones as just this cool guy archetype who does cool stuff, except he's less family friendly.
Yeah. He drinks, pours his whiskey down the chess machine when he loses.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, right.
He has a throws a tantrum when he loses.
Yeah. So something that I took note of as I was just reading a bit about this movie is other media tie-ins. So there is a The Thing video game that came out in 2002. It's like a third-person squad shooter. From what I can tell, there's a lot of just shooting tentacles and stuff, shooting giant tentacles.
Yep.
It's a sequel, technically. And apparently, according to the director, it is canon. And MacReady makes an appearance, like a cameo, in the game at the end, so you know he doesn't die. Honestly, I don't love that. I kind of like having the mystery. But according to the director of the movie, John Carpenter, it was canon, which I found interesting. John Carpenter, also a gamer, which I'll talk about a little bit later. There were comic books, board games, and then the 2011 remake, which is technically a prequel, but they still called it The Thing. Have you seen that movie, Jake?
I started it. I got to the first like really big CG moment and immediately turned it off.
Yeah, that what you just said, I think, is the general consensus of that movie. I have not seen it, but people really tend to hate it.
I don't think it's that terrible. It's just a big thing that I like of The Thing is the practical effects and like the love and the art that went into those designs, and to lose that from the movie and then be like, kind of know what happened already because it's a prequel, and also you don't have the same kind of pedigree of actors and John Carpenter helming it. So it's like,
well, you do have Joel Edgerton. I did see that. I love some Joel Edgerton.
There's also a actual sequel that is in the works.
Really?
John Carpenter directed, working with Blumhouse. Yeah.
Actually?
2023, he said it was in the works. Yeah.
No way. Dang. With John Carpenter?
Yes.
Awesome. I have a few movie-specific questions, and one is, what is the most disgusting thing that happens in this movie? Because as I was thinking through it, I'm like, there's a lot of really depraved, disgusting things that happen.
It's either the mess of the dog at the end of the dog scene, when it's still in there, but it's like a pile, and you have like a human eye that's looking out at you. It's either that, or it's the head separating
the spider
itself
head
and
crawls
then like
around.
Walking away. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justin?
The guy, wait, is it the guy on the table who ends up like rising?
Yeah.
After grabbing the doc's hands.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was pretty gross. It just looked, I don't know. Whenever it like rises and goes towards the ceiling, I was just like, ew, what the, how is it moving like that?
Don't let it escape up there.
I think it's, for me, it's probably the dog pile, the pile of dog. It's so disgusting. It's just so gross.
None of this does not compare to anything The Thing does, but when they're cutting each other for blood, I did not like that.
Why the center of the thumb? Use your arm, you really? Morons.
If you're going to do it like on your finger, do it on the side where you don't have to touch things.
Or your pinky, you know, the thing you don't use all the time for everything.
Right, yeah.
Also, they
too.
Don't clean the knife.
Yeah, that's
just the dumbest. He like wipes it on his jeans, and I'm like, I think The Thing can still infect
you. It was the 80s. They didn't understand germs.
Yeah, by the 1980s, these scientists are like, huh?
Do you think people in Antarctica like watch this movie like 10 years later and we're like, fuck,
we gotta get out of here?
Yeah. All the people that finally live in Antarctica and are watching The Thing.
It came out and then they didn't realize until a decade later when it finally gets to them and they're like, is that right now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're watching recorded TV. They might not watch it for a while.
What do you think The Thing actually wants? It obviously wants to take control of these organisms and take control, presumably, of a planet, but why?
Assimilation. I mean, I think it does remove some of the malevolence from its intent to say that it is simply in its nature to spread. Similar to, like, you see any zombie movie, you're like, oh, it's about a fungal outbreak. Like, it just reproduces itself constantly until it can't anymore.
Yeah, whoa. Similarly, I viewed it as like a parasite.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what I want to do. And it does have some free will. I mean, we've talked about that a little bit. It does certain things. But yeah, it ultimately is like, I'm just going to take over whatever is next to me. I'm doing it.
That's disgusting.
Dogs, people, bugs, whatever.
Yeah, could it be a bug?
A note on the dog splitting. Okay, here's the thing. I hate when dogs die in movies. I hate it so much. for some reason, and the dog scenes are very disturbing. For some reason, the extremity of the violence almost makes it less.
It lessens the blow.
Sad, and I don't yes. know why.
Well, the dog never whimpers or is like.
Its face just opens yes. up. You're never like, oh, that's a dog suffering. You're immediately like, that ain't a dog.
Yeah,
at no point are you worried about that dog specifically. There is the part where he starts spraying one of the other dogs. I'm like, that's hard to watch.
That is very hard to watch.
Yeah.
I hate that. And then he's like choking one of the other dogs and they shoot it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good. Put that dog out of its misery.
I was watching the movie Gosford Park with Bailey the other day, which is like a British period drama directed by Robert Altman. And there's a part with this little dog. And he gets kicked and, like, whimpers. And I was like, no. And that hit me harder than I think the dog just splitting open into a blood flower.
Yeah. And it should. Like, John Wick, that hits harder than seeing those huskies going through it.
The John Wick dog. Yeah.
If a dog's in more than three scenes in a movie, I think its death rate is, like, 95%. They never make it out well.
Well, I haven't finished I Am Legend, but I'm sure that one's going to go great.
Yeah, that one's going to end super well for you.
I love German Shepherds, so I really hope nothing happens there.
Final question on this. Is the computer that Dr. Blair uses a proto-chat GPT? Because I don't think the movie does anything of like, oh, this is in the future or anything. But he's just asking this computer questions and it's just responding to him like, well, the survival rate of the world is this and it's going to spread here.
Well, if you go off of it's essentially just a calculator. Like it's a graphing calculator with predetermined values fed into it, like human populace and rates and things like that. So infectious disease spread, like spread checking has been a thing in computation for a long time. And he just fed it the parameters of this specific parasite as if it was a disease.
It's not even accounting for the fact that this thing could just come after people too. It's not even like normal cold virus spread.
True.
It could actively come after people.
Yeah.
I have more questions for you guys.
Yes, please.
What did the scientists do wrong in this movie? Sometimes they were complete idiots to me, and I can't remember specifically what scenes or moments, but I feel like there were several times where I was like, why are you doing this?
Letting the dog anywhere near them immediately when you're like, okay, the other research base of Norwegians is trying to chase down and shoot this animal acting out of character.
Right.
Let's just not test it at all. It's like rule of thumb is quarantine for a little bit until you can make sure it's not infected or something like that. Like, okay, it's not an alien. It has a disease and it passed to humans and they're trying to kill it because of that. Like, that's a very reasonable situation where you should be like, hey, if that's the case, we should do this.
You're right. They kind of just take for granted. They're like, oh, yeah, the Norwegians, they always come by in their helicopter trying to snipe a dog.
Those dirty Swedes or those
murderers. He does call them Swedes at one point, and he's like, no, they're Norwegians.
No, like three times. He's like, no, they're Norwegians. My gosh.
Yep. They just are kind of like, huh, not weird at all. They just take the dog in. Yeah, that is interesting.
Remember the guy at the very beginning that the doctor is dubious of because he's like, how long were you alone with that dog for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Clark. Yeah, the dog handler.
Yes, the dog handler. Wasn't he talking to him at one point and asking him how long the dog was outside for, too?
He wasn't asking outside. He was saying outside of the kennel. So, like, in the rec room and stuff. And it was, like, a day and a half. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if Clark was technically the thing, because he doesn't try to assimilate MacReady. He tries to kill him with a knife, and MacReady shoots him in the head.
Yeah,
but doesn't incinerate his body, and nothing happens.
Yeah, he wasn't.
They test
because
his blood.
When they test his blood, Child says, so he's human.
Because now MacReady's, not a murderer. It was kind of self-defense.
I think it was self-defense.
The dude was rushing him
with a
knife.
Scalpel.
Yeah.
And MacReady was definitely a little crazy at that point.
MacReady's a little crazy.
They cut his slack line out in Antarctica. He had to find his way back in the cold. Yeah, I'd be nuts too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pissed.
That's fair. So, anything else, Justin? Any other questions?
No. Why do you think culturally it wasn't a hit at the time? Like, this movie, if released today, I think people would love it.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Well, because Colorado Space is kind of a cult classic, and it has a lot of the similar, like, body horror, practical effects vibes. I would say because of it was kind of coming out right along that slasher genre.
I don't know if Colorado Space made money, though. But maybe
I don't think it made money, but
I don't think it was a huge budget, either.
Yeah. People like it when it came out as well.
It's easier with the internet, too, because Colorado Space is pretty niche, and it's easy for people who like that thing to find it.
I also think audiences might have just not been ready for a movie kind of that intense. Like, oh, Halloween was a shocker when that came out, and I'll rewatch that laughing because there's just so much about that that is campy and ridiculous. Again, not laughing at murder, but like the way that they shoot that with Mike Myers just like sidestepping behind a bush at one scene. I'm like, okay, this is just it's so dumb.
Yeah, I do laugh at murder when he pins the guy to the wall with the knife. That's wonderful.
But that's like, that was intense for audiences when it came out. They're like, ooh, a slasher, and it's that. And I'm like, that is campy and hilarious. And the thing is a lot more intense in hindsight comparing it to that.
It's interesting though, because Alien came out before
3 years.
Yeah.
What, 78, 79?
Yeah. I think 79.
Yes.
Something like that. And Alien, I believe, was a lot more successful. So, I don't know.
True.
This movie is more disgusting, though. Like,
oh,
it is,
far more.
And something that I think is interesting about Alien and The Thing, they're both amazing. John Carpenter, in making The Thing, he talked about not wanting to have a guy in a suit. Because he was talking about how horror movies, when he was growing up, and horror movies almost always up to that point had a guy in a suit eventually or something like it, and how even a movie like Alien, which is a really awesome movie, by the end, when you see the alien in full, he looks a little silly at times. Mm-hmm. And in this movie, I'm not saying it never looks silly, but it always looks disgusting, and it always looks not like a guy in a suit.
I think the difference feels like in The Thing, you start out with a little bit of hope that maybe some of the members of the Antarctic expedition will be successful and survive. You're like, oh, it's the animal, and maybe they'll STEMI it and they'll catch the right people and do it. With Alien, I don't think you ever feel that. I think the second that thing's loose in the ship and they're like, oh, it's a perfect killing machine and it's picking you off one by one, it's like that's a little bit of a different vibe. One is more psychological with The Thing, and the other is just a monster movie done really, really well in space.
Yeah. I can see that. I think that was some of the critique I read online at the time, was that it was too dark.
Yeah.
You could read that they die at the end, but it's not a super happy ending, like Jake said, like Alien. They kind of, Sigourney Weaver makes it off with the
cat.
Yeah. And the critical reception for The Thing was bad. So true. People who were paying attention to that were probably not seeing it. And a lot of people were seeing E.T. And if you're going to go watch a sci-fi movie and you're just going to go watch one, a lot of people probably opted to watch E.T.
Yeah, people are like, I don't want to be depressed. Let's go watch this fun summer movie for an alien.
A lot more people probably took their kids to E.T. as well. So
true. It is hard to find time to like put on a movie that kids should not watch.
Right. Oh, right. Because Jake actually has a kid now.
I do. Yes.
But he's not really old enough to watch things. What's the most disturbing movie that you've had on with Beck with you, but like he's not watching it? Because I know that you don't let him like watch the screen. But.
Yeah, he's not in the room really when I'm watching things now, but when he was like maybe 2 months old, I watched Hereditary.
Great.
He was asleep the entire time. He wasn't watching. He was out, like had his binky in. I was just holding him while it was on. But yeah, I definitely will be like, okay, wait till you're a lot older to actually watch that movie.
It's like the parents who play classical music for their baby. They're like, this will help. Jake's like, I'm just going to put on Hereditary.
I'm
going to
make another me. Yeah, that's my goal.
Are you going to let Beck watch The Thing when he's like 12?
I think it'll depend on where I think he's at from like a maturity standpoint. Like me at 12 watching The Thing, I was like, that was gross, but that was awesome. And I don't get nightmares or never have gotten nightmares even as a kid from like scary movies. If he's somebody who it's like, oh, we showed him Lord of the Rings when he was 9 and it kind of threw him for a loop because of the orcs and the violence and stuff, then obviously we'll be like, all right, we're not going to go to The Thing. I would not show him Hereditary until like high school.
No.
There are levels to this, and that's a lot more intense.
Yeah. Anything – I kind of forgot about this question because I don't really have an answer to it for this one, but I'm interested if either of you do. Anything in this movie that resonated or / did not resonate – as not true, something that you think the movie's putting forth, it's trying to say this is true about the world, that you're like, nah, I don't vibe with this.
I think my nihilism only extends so far. I don't think any of the crew members would jump to the, okay, I need to sabotage the helicopter and communications and kill everybody as quickly as what's-his-face did Blair.
Yeah.
Like, he immediately was like, okay, I need to sabotage our methods for escape and comms and kill everybody. Like, you jumped on that ship quick. That was something you might have had lying under the surface there, bud. So I'm not that nihilistic. I think that's a little bit far-fetched.
That's interesting. I had not thought of that.
I can definitely see that. It was pretty quick. Like, they're usually in movies like this is one selfish guy who's like, I'm getting the hell out of here, and I'm taking yeah. everything and just leaving. But they probably would not want to let that person do that. But usually mm-hmm. there is someone who wants to do that.
Fletcher would have done that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coward.
I don't know if this fully, like, answers your question, but something I thought about with this movie is, again, some of the criticism of it where, like, the characters are not very fully fleshed out and you don't really care about them. But I actually don't mind that. I like not caring about them because then when something
happens, yeah.
When something happens, you're not like, oh no, them. It's just like anyone's up for grabs. And it also adds to the thing that, like, you never know which person is going to get got because there's McCready's the closest to that because he's like the leading guy. But there's still moments where I thought he was going to be gone and he was the thing.
A lot of the cast of the movie, actually, when the movie was released, didn't like the movie because they felt like their characters weren't really done justice in the cut that was released. And there were a lot of cuts when Carpenter was working on the movie. It went through a lot of different variations. And the one that he ended up with highlighted McCready a lot more to give him a kind of a narrative through line through the movie, more so than he did originally. And that kind of minimized some of the other cast members. So a lot of the cast was not super happy with the final cut.
I could see that, but I think my take on the movie is The Thing is a story that is mostly about the thing. It isn't about any of the people. The people exist as a tool to further the plot. The thing is interacting with the people, and we're seeing that interaction more so than we're seeing an individual interacting in an environment with this thing. Because I don't think you're supposed to connect to the people. I think if you did, that would make the movie even more horrific. I think this is more just like, this is a story being told. The ending and the beginning are kind of finite, but it has that rewatchability because you're like, okay, I'm not watching this to see what happens to people. I'm watching this for the story and seeing how it plays out over time.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I, in comparison with, which they are very different movies, but with Alien, the characters are more there, and also there's other stuff happening besides just the alien, like the robot guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that there's just one thing happening in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the thing. That's it. And everything else is pretty much non-existent. It's just like, what's going on with this? How can we, like, solve this?
It's really stripped down, for sure.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. There was an interview I read with John Carpenter where someone was asking him about, like, what do you think about elevated horror? And John Carpenter's response was like, what is that? And he's like, well, it's kind of like, and the interviewer in his response used A24. He was like, it's kind of like this sort of thing that gets produced by something like an A24, where it's horror, but to a kind of higher level and something more. And John Carpenter was kind of like, good horror movies deal with themes. And they're like, okay, so
I like that.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, because the person was trying to explain it and saying that, well, there's a lot of like thematic elements and metaphors and things like that. And John Carpenter didn't really give like a, oh, I like or I don't like. He was more like, what is elevated horror? And then he was like, good horror movies wrestle with themes. But like,
I
100% like
agree with that.
Yeah,
I'm like,
interesting.
It wrestles with a lot of things that you could really, like, one thing I saw online was like talking about how The Thing and not knowing who the person is next to you is very relevant just in the world where when you're just around people all the time, you have no idea who they are, and they're not the thing, obviously, but they have other things going on. Like, they could be a sexual predator or something. Like,
yeah, they could be something really dark.
Yeah, really
or
dark.
Or worse than The Thing.
Or they could have a disease, like, or something like that.
Yeah.
That could, like, an airborne thing that could spread. Yeah. What emotions were you feeling while watching this movie other than entertained? What were the primary emotions that you guys felt this most recent time watching it?
I would say excitement, because I like watching it for the first time with people who have not seen it, just because there are so many moments I'm like, oh, something bonkers is coming up. I want to see how they react. And then just all, like, every time I watch it, there's that little through line of dread, especially when they're going through the Norwegian base for the first time and you're seeing all of the aftermath and you're like, oh, what is about to happen to these people?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that you saying that just reminded me, what do you think happened with that body that had, like, blood coming out of their arm and stuff? What happened there? What were they doing?
He garroted himself. He had a razor.
So he just killed himself?
Yeah, that's why you see his neck and it like cuts all the way back.
Okay.
Oh, that's
and
he, so
it pans down. He's holding a razor. It looks like a pink thing because it's coated in frozen blood. But
okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was the most obvious answer. I just didn't know if there's something else. I just feel like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole time.
Yeah, that's, kind of on edge.
Yeah, on edge and from the beginning. And then even when you have a little bit more of an idea of what's going on, just waiting that, sense of dread that Jake said.
Mm-hmm.
In the most fun way possible, I would say I felt grossed out and icky because I knew what was coming with all of the practical effects, and it looks so disgusting that I was just kind of like, ugh. So I had that on edge feeling, but then I also was like, this is just this feeling on my inside that I'm like, this is very gross.
Well, I would argue it is a more impressive practical effects feat than like Jurassic Park, which is fantastic, and I love that movie.
I think
this is more impressive, and I think the impressiveness of the practical effects kind of detaches me from how gross it is, because I'm like, this is insanely talented, like what they did with this.
Yeah. So with the practical effects, there's a guy named Rob Botten. He did most of the practical effects, and he put a ton of time into it. He said in an interview that he was sleeping at the Universal lot
for like
a year, and it was not great for his health. He eventually did go to the hospital, but he
for being committed.
What it was it was essentially I think stress based like symptoms, like it was not, I don't think it was psychosis, but I think it was just like his body was not doing
I haven't
well.
Pooped in like a year, is that bad?
Right. A lot of
Something, we'll film it for the next thing.
Gross.
Yeah.
A lot of the effects, so some of the stuff that was used, this is really disgusting. Lots of KY jelly, lots of mayo, microwaved bubblegum, creamed corn was in that list as well. Pretty disgusting stuff.
White people Thanksgiving right there.
Yeah.
Especially with the KY jelly.
And the mayo.
Gross. I am not a fan of mayonnaise in general, so it's extra disgusting.
It has its place, but yes.
It does.
Yeah, I kind of disagree.
It's just egg whites and oil. That's it.
Yeah. Sure. Getting into the fun facts. So I have some fun facts on this one. The destroyed Norwegian base was actually the U.S. base. So they actually like blew up that building.
Oh, nice.
And if you look while they're going into it in the beginning of the movie, you're kind of like, oh, this is,
you can see the hallways,
kind of familiar. But it's a really great use of that, because I would not have noticed that if I had not known beforehand. And John Carpenter did a lot to the score, even though Ennio Morricone, I do not know how to pronounce it. I've seen it a million times typed out, but he's done the scores for a lot of things. He is listed as the person who did the score for this, but John Carpenter added a lot to what Morricone sent him. So he's like officially the guy, but John Carpenter added a lot to the score, as he did with a lot of his movies. And I love John Carpenter's scores because they're usually very simple, but they just fit so well. So he made the Halloween like dun 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 dun. But then a lot of times he uses synth. So in Assault on Precinct 13, which is a movie that he did that I like, and Escape from New York, both of those movies have like a cool, broody, synthy score that's pretty stripped back, but just really effective for adding a vibe to the movie, I think. Mm-hmm.
Jake, what do you think, this is out of the blue, what do you think is more related to this movie, Alien or Event Horizon, which we watched together that one time?
I have not seen Event Horizon.
We need to watch Event Horizon.
I need to watch it again because I was out of it.
It's not great, but it's fun. I would say this has the caliber of Alien, but is more similar to Event Horizon.
That's a good answer. I would agree.
Yeah, because Event Horizon is also just kind of gross, but edges on like the conceptual sci-fi nature a little bit with how it deals with things, whereas this is much more practical and just like, oh, this thing's an alien, that's kind of as sci-fi as we get, other than its whole shtick of transforming into people. And then Alien, I think, is just not thematically but like it's a similar vibe, I would say, to The Thing, where it's like the art's great, the set design is great, like you see that with H.R. Giger's art was very influential on Alien, and you see some kind of nods to that in The Thing as well with the wall design and all that. But definitely not the spaceship. That is the worst part of the movie, is the spaceship at the beginning. You're like, ah, this is like an early 2000s VHS, and that's what it looks like, and then you forget about it for the rest of the movie.
The beginning of what?
The Thing, with the spaceship overhead, like the flying saucer.
Oh.
At the very beginning. Which
I
is,
barely even remember that.
Yeah, because they dug it out of the snow, because that's like hundreds of years before the events of the movie. The saucer crashes, so it's an alien thing. The Norwegians dug it out. And it was trying to build a spaceship in the Norwegians' base, and you come across that.
Okay.
Another fun fact. John Carpenter. So there was an interview that he did a few years ago, and someone referred to him as the master of horror, and I just want to read his response because I love it. He said, "Look, I'm not a master of anything. I just want to play video games and watch basketball. That's all I care about doing. I don't want to bother anybody." And then the interviewer was like, what video games are you playing? And he talked about Ratchet and Clank. He talked about Borderlands. And he mentioned a few others as well. He mentioned Fallout 76. He loves Fallout 76. Which,
I don't understand that.
Yeah, so he's a big gamer. He just kind of likes hanging out and
dude's a bro.
Chilling. So I think that's really interesting, though, that he is working on something else, because I'd be excited to see it. Moving into best hang, worst hang, what character is the best hang in this movie? Who would you most like to hang out with? Who is the worst hang?
100% Nalls and Fletcher, the guy with the glasses.
For best or worst?
Best hang.
Okay, why?
They're just down to clown. They're just hanging out, doing their own thing, listening to, you know, some funk and skating around a kitchen or token up and just doing their thing.
I put Knowles on there, too, because Knowles, there's the scene where he's playing music, and the guy's like, ah, turn it down. Knowles slides over, and I think he's on rollerblades.
He's on roller skates. He's got the
four. Skates. And I was like, this guy is the man.
He just, like, kind of waves at the radio and doesn't actually change the volume and then goes back to what he's doing. Yep.
He doesn't get a lot of screen time, but I think he would be the best hang for sure. Justin, what do you think?
I actually said the same thing. Knowles.
Who would be the worst hang?
MacReady's kind of a dick.
He
loses to chess once and pours his drink down and ruins the computer that you're stuck in Antarctica with. I'm like, you're kind of an idiot.
He was taunting it before. He was like, oh, poor baby, you losing it. And then he loses. He's like, F you.
Yep. He also completely, this has its pros and cons. He also completely just takes over and doesn't let anyone have any say, really.
Which in this situation, I'm going to be honest, you have one person who's like, I'm human and I don't trust any of you, and I'm going to slowly sort through and figure out who's on this side, and then we can make decisions together from there. Like, you have to do that.
Sure.
Well, another reason why I thought he was the thing is because when he first takes over, he says, I know I'm human, so I'm trying to figure out. And I was like, well, the thing could have just said that. I know I'm human.
But he could also have just, like, flamethrowered all of them at that moment, because none of them had anything on him, and he just had the flamethrower pointed at all of them.
Yeah.
It's like, I could kill you all. I'm not going to.
How did they come upon him, like, leading it to? Because they tried one other guy, I think, and then he was like, we need someone a little more even keeled to do this.
Childs, because Childs is the one with the anger issues. That's Keith David's. Yeah.
So, like,
Childs makes a lot of, like, throughout the movie, I think Childs has a cooler head than MacReady does.
Like, I would agree throughout. I would not say at first he's immediately, like, hot-tempered in people's faces, like, willing to, like, just throw people around, wants to shoot all the dogs, wants to shoot Clark with them, like,
okay.
He is a little bit more out there initially.
I found myself really being on Child's side during when everybody gets tied up. I'm like, Childs is saying all of the things that I'm thinking right now.
Like, this is not the way to do it. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you're being dumb.
It eventually works out-ish.
I'm erring on the side of caution, though. I'm tying people up.
I would tie people up, but just separate chairs.
Yeah, why are they on the same? Yeah,
let's do it on a couch.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all. That's like you're terrorizing the other person if they're not the thing.
Yeah, right. We're going to punish you all because one of you might be bad, and we're going to chain you up with him.
Yeah.
Ultimately, so true. I said Dr. Blair would be the worst hang.
No, he definitely was up there.
Even though one thing that gives him points is his mustache is legendary. That thing's insane.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. But completely loses his mind and is just shooting at people as they're trying to like restrain him after he destroys.
I'll kill you!
Yeah,
I love the scene when they go out to the shack and they're checking in on him. They open the thing and you just see a noose hanging down in the background. You're
like, that's dark.
Right.
He's not doing so hot. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready to come inside now.
No.
No, you're not.
Why do they have flamethrowers? Why do they have, like, three flamethrowers?
It's a great question.
They're in the Antarctic. It actually is standard to have flamethrowers so that you can melt areas of ice for transport in case things freeze up. Yep.
This is why Jake's here.
Yeah, really. Maybe I do want to go work in Antarctica. I love a good flamethrower.
Flamethrowing some penguins.
So fun. Oh, no, not the penguins.
Yeah. Tasty barbecue. What else are you supposed to eat?
Yeah, right.
Who would be, speaking of flamethrowers, who would be the best Super Smash Brothers edition in this movie? I think there are a few pretty good answers.
Honestly,
here.
The Thing.
Yeah. The
like
Thing
Kirby,
is probably the
gross.
Obvious one. Well, that's what I was going to say. Is Kirby pretty much the Thing?
Because he transforms into him.
He completely assimilates and copies in a way that is entirely unrecognizable.
He's like a juvenile Thing. He hasn't quite gotten it down. He's like, I look kind of like you.
I said MacReady with the flamethrower.
Oh, yeah.
He could do some classic
action hero.
I specifically liked the dog as the Thing.
Ooh.
Like, he can be the dog, and then you can be, like, Zelda and press down B and
transform
the Thing.
Into the Thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing, with all its little red tendrils going around.
Yes, and its tongue sticking out of its head.
You could be the dude who's on the, I can never remember his name, who's on the autopsy table and his stomach opens and then his head pops off. That could be one of his moves. Like his
head
just turns into a propeller and flies back up.
So gross.
Yes. Nice. That was actually really surprising. I was not seeing that coming.
The head coming off?
Yeah. No, well, not the head coming off, but him biting, his stomach opening up into a mouth and biting his arm, that guy's arms off.
Mid-defibrillator, yep.
Yeah.
And they actually, for that special effect, they used a guy who was a double amputee who did not have arms, mm-hmm. and so he was wearing.
So it was the right
arms.
Length.
Isn't that insane?
Whoa.
Yeah. And so that's what gets chomped off in the movie.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So, what should you pair this with? So, this can mean anything. It can be another movie, it can be music, it can be a human experience. What should you pair with the Thing? What would it go well with?
Tapioca pudding.
Tapioca pudding.
Why?
It's got the bubbles and it's gross, but it's delicious.
Do you think the Thing is delicious? If you could like eat a little bit of it?
No.
If there was a safe way to do that, I'd give it a try.
No, definitely not.
Cooked? Barbecued with a flamethrower? Maybe they make some jerky in the movie. I don't know. If they survive.
They're in the Arctic. You could do the freeze-dry thing, yeah.
Mmm, yummy.
This is definitely the grossest alien I've ever seen, because it looks like if you took a human or an organism and stripped their top layer of skin off and just left behind.
And then microwaved them for like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So they're melting a little bit.
And then like threw some water on them to make it glisten. Like that's what it looks like.
Oh, it is a glisteny movie.
It is glistening. There's that lube coming back.
Yes, exactly.
That's so disgusting.
They lubed them up.
What do you think? I wonder who they were buying the KY jelly from and
direct from the source. And John Carpenter's got a contact.
Well, and also what the supplier was thinking. They're like, you are using a lot of KY jelly.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to send a tanker truck up to Alaska where you're filming, just filled with KY jelly.
What did you pair this with, Nick?
KY jelly.
I did not. I paired it with a double feature of this and Alien. I think they'd go very well together. But secondarily, I also paired this with Christmas. I think watching this with snow on the ground would kind of be a lot of fun.
Double feature, this and Gremlins. Yeah.
I actually have never seen Gremlins.
You got to see Gremlins.
Is it like, I kind of feel like I missed the train with Gremlins. Like I didn't see it. I feel the same way about The Wizard of Oz, which is a movie I've never seen. I did not like The Goonies.
You might not like Gremlins. I'm being honest. I'm thinking back. I'm like, yeah.
Someone in my life who is, she's in her 40s. And so she likes The Goonies and she kind of grew up with The Goonies. And she's like, you got to watch The Goonies. And so Hannah and I watched The Goonies and we were both kind of like, okay.
Hey, you guys.
there are a few good parts. I like the truffle shuffle is pretty great.
Yeah.
You could pair this movie with a shower. You feel gross.
Yeah.
Just yes. Wash yourself of this movie.
Hey, we should watch Fire Walk with me. That one's fun. If you want a shower movie.
Oh, just I still haven't seen that one either. But
have
I know
you,
who
Justin?
Kills Laura Palmer.
No, I haven't even heard of this movie.
Okay.
Oh, Fire
Twin
Walk
Peaks.
With Me?
That should so be like another show. Movie we watch soon. I'd be down.
I'd watch it. I'd watch it. I've only seen a few David Lynch movies, and the ones that I've seen have been like...
media.
Okay. Well, I've said this before, but David Lynch's movies, I think, are very successful in that the ones that I've seen, particularly Lost Highway felt this way, they feel dreamlike in a sense of, I'm like, this is actually how my dreams feel. And I don't like most of my dreams. I'm not a person who typically mm-hmm. has very good dreams. And so I'm like, this does give me this odd, surreal feeling like it is a dream that I've had. But it's terrifying and makes me feel icky, which
you
I think is
watch
the point.
Skinamarink. Yeah.
But it's not my favorite experience.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I'm not the biggest David Lynch fan. Like, still trying to get through True Detective. Or not True Detective. I always mix them up. Twin Peaks Season 1. Get that one done. But I think Fire Walk With Me is fantastic. But also thematically completely different from The Thing.
Yeah.
No similarities other than the fact that they're kind of both horror.
Sure. Sure. Anything else, you guys?
I don't know if we're talking about this, but I wrote down for something I would change about this movie.
Oh, yes. Ooh, let's talk about it.
Why is the alien super smart and can turn into someone and 100% replicate them? But then when it turns into like an alien, it gets super dumb, I feel like. It doesn't do anything.
It takes time for the alien to adapt to the human's like host to become a perfect replication. That's why, like, we had to burn this guy's body right away before it learned well enough. And I think with that comes the intelligence of the host that it's trying to replicate.
So you're saying if it had a year as a person, then if it turned into an alien, it would it could still kill?
I don't think it would have the incentive to turn into an alien because it can infect without turning into an alien.
Okay, so you think in an ideal world for this alien, it's just infecting everyone and it just looks like things are normal, but everyone's infected.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. I think it's a parasite. I don't think it's like, I think it is malevolent in the way that it behaves, but I don't think that there's like this whole, I want to turn everybody into being infected and then make them all look like me, because we don't see what it actually looks like. We only see it as a facsimile of all these other things.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I just found it whenever it got unveiled, it just stood there and they're like, all right, now flamethrow this thing, and it didn't do much besides maybe the one guy who walked out into the snow when it was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah it kind of just does the whole like, I'm gross, don't kill me thing, and everyone's like, oh, it's gross for a few seconds.
Yeah, maybe
like,
we should probably put some fire on that. Oh, also, this is not something necessarily have a change, I guess, because they're just learning, but when they first flamethrow the dog, they light it for about 0.2 seconds and they're like, all right,
yeah, uh-huh,
extinguish it,
that was good, now put it out.
Yep, right.
Jake made it mad. Now let's leave it alone.
Yeah, Jake last night, I was like, I'd let that thing burn for a little bit longer.
Right.
I would get that thing to be a crispy marshmallow. I am not taking any chances.
Yeah, I'd want that thing to be ashes before I'd feel good about leaving it there.
Otherwise, I mean, do you guys have anything you'd change? Because I was going to move on to something else.
No, let's
make
go.
Make it longer.
Make it longer.
Want more. I just want that, but more of it.
I could see it being like closer to 2 hours. I don't think I would mind that.
They lose, and then guess what? They go and infect another base.
Yeah.
Like the Norwegians did. Like, I'll watch that movie.
It flew by, really. The hour 40 or whatever
it did.
It was.
I would not add anything, though, because I'm not bored at any point in this movie, and I don't want to find a time that I am bored.
I guess that's true. It's in my top five, so I don't want to change much of it. I just wish there was like a sequel that was the same.
Yeah, you just love it so much, you're like, give me more.
Even the beginning like setup is not boring to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it really helps that the visual vibe of the movie is just very cool. Like when they're playing pool in there with the little bar, I'm like, you know what? I could get used to this place. I think it would get old after a week, but it looks pretty cool. And even just, there's a lot in this movie of blue light on the white snow, but then when they light the flares and things,
the
explosions, there's the red. And so it just looks amazing since the white snow reflects everything. It's just an amazing visual vibe. It's so cool.
I'm going to move on to favorite scene. and sure. give you guys some options. Yeah. And we can mm-hmm. just talk about any of them yeah. or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The dog becomes a thing because that's the first like reveal. I yeah. thought that was fun.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The blood samples where they're taking everyone's blood.
Yeah.
Because of the suspense with the hot needle and everything. Mm-hmm. And when they put it in the thing blood and it moves, that was awesome.
It like explodes
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
yeah.
It mm-hmm. reacted so crazily. The dude goes out into the snow and is not quite transformed, so he looks at them and is like,
I hate that scene.
Yeah. yeah.
It is effective. I hate it.
yeah.
What is that a reference to? There's another Invasion of the Body Snatchers. There's that iconic like end scene where he points and screams like that at a human. Yeah.
Okay. Gross.
The final scene with Kurt Russell in the mineshaft thing, that was cool.
When it's like burrowing.
Cool. Yeah, and he like is like, guys, where are you at?
The hardest one was Null's death being like off screen, and it's the only one that's completely off screen.
Yeah.
And he's just gone.
Right.
And at one point you see the doctor with his fingers and hand is like in the formed with the guy's
mouth.
Face. Yeah, and then he's like dragging him that way.
Yeah.
Oh, that was sick.
I think my favorite part, I don't think you mentioned this one, but the part where they're walking through and dynamiting every room.
That was on there. This was one of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was. Okay. Because I think that even though the situation is very stressful, it just looks so fun. It's blowing stuff up is so fun. And to just like have the little flamethrower and just light them, throw them in, walk to a different room, light it, throw it in. It just looks so fun.
Yeah. That was my last one. That one was awesome.
Skipping along. I would say mine is probably when they go to the Norwegian base.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even have that on there.
Yeah. It's that because it gives me the same feeling that when they're in, and you don't know it at the time, but an alien when they're going through the Prometheus ship with the space jockey. And everything. And you're just like, this is dread-inducing. There's all the eggs on the ground. You see the giant figure with its chest burst out. Like, the same thing where you're like, something terrible happened here. What's about to happen for the rest of the movie? I love that just blunt foreshadowing.
Yeah. That's good.
That's really good. Yeah. Justin, what about you? What's your favorite scene?
Probably the blood sample scene. Yeah. I just like the intensity of it.
Good.
And the idea of like we're gonna find one of you,
we're gonna root you out.
Yeah, exactly.
The dynamite. How much dynamite do they have there, and what are they using
it for? Probably a lot.
Pre the
mass
thing.
Ice excavations, because you can't get heavy drilling equipment out there really, not as easily.
Okay.
Same reason you have the flamethrowers. I mean, everything back then is just like, what do we need? Some explosives, mapping equipment, and a radio, and that's kind of every adventure or exploratory thing.
That's interesting. Dynamite used to be a lot more accessible as well. My grandpa, so actually Justin's grandpa too, our grandpa Chris, do you know this about dynamite?
No.
He kind of like blew part of his face off with dynamite because he was blowing up tree stumps with dynamite and one of them did not go off. And then he went to go check on it and it did go off and like grandma had to drive him to the hospital. So some family lore. But that, they had to do like plastic surgery on his face. So,
okay, yeah. I was like, his face looks fine.
Yeah, probably good that dynamite is not as accessible, so stuff like that doesn't have to
speak for yourself.
Yeah, Jake would love some.
Anyway, dynamite, a lot more ubiquitous at a certain time in American history. You could just go buy it and use it for blowing up tree stumps.
Hey, if it won a Nobel Peace Prize, I'm allowed to use it.
Yes, that's Jake is our benevolent dictator. He says, if it won a Nobel Peace Prize, I can use it
for
whatever I want.
In my socialist utopia, everybody gets a monthly stipend of dynamite.
Do we also get health care?
That kind of has to come with the dynamite, yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll toss
that
in, but only related to dynamite incidences. Like, we will cover everything our dynamite did to you. But, like, if you get sick, come on, play with some more dynamite. That's probably what's going to take you out now in this society.
Goodness
You're
gracious.
You're not making it to 80. We've got dynamite everywhere.
Okay. Justin, anything else you got for us?
Nope. That was the end of it for me.
Great. Jake?
This is a new threshold that I've started for movies is how long would you wait before a rewatch?
That's a great question. Because that's really telling. I rewatched Whiplash the next day. Or maybe a couple days after because I loved it so much. I think I could watch this movie tomorrow. I think I'd want a day in between to like let it settle a little bit and maybe just think about it and just let it wash over me.
It was also your first time watching it, so you're going through it like, okay, the next time I'm watching it, I know the story, so I can kind of pick out stuff a bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, Nick, what your answer would then be as well, because you've seen it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would watch it with someone just, yeah, about the next day. Like, yep. If someone wanted to watch it and I had time to watch it, I'd be like, oh, yeah. I would definitely keep that at the top of the list because it's so good. It's mm-hmm. one of those things, and it's not boring at all.
There's no fat on that.
Yeah. 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 And it's short. It's great. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. We might have to add that. What, yeah. When's the fastest, like, how fast could you rewatch this movie?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What about you, Jake? Doing. I have a backlog of movies that if I wasn't trying to actively get through, I would say, like, the next day as well. It's sure. just because, like, okay, I can't justify rewatching the thing for the eighth time when there's I need to finish As Above, So Below and all these other movies that I haven't seen ever. And I'm like, okay, I might as well do a first rewatch before I do a ninth rewatch of a movie I know I love.
I love that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, always remember, it'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open.